We spoke about using Maaser money for your children. Different things that we spoke about last week. Even those who hold that you should not use Maaser money for your children, okay, with the conditions that we said, that doesn't apply to grandchildren. Because you are not chayiv to support your grandchildren. And therefore, since you're not chayiv, if you volunteer to support them, you can support them for Maaser money, if they're not capable of supporting themselves. If they're rich people, then obviously you can't give them Maaser money. But if they're poor people, and they need your help, then you can support them with Maaser money, as long as you didn't obligate yourself to do it to begin with. If you're makabel on yourself, I'm going to support my grandchildren, you made a nether or something. And then you said, hey, you know, I found out I could do it with Maaser money, then you can't use Maaser money, because you're already obligated. But if when you decided to fulfill this and support them, you said, you stipulated that you can use Maaser money, then you can use Maaser money. Because you're using the Maaser money for something you're not required to do. Yeah.
And if you do that, does that mean the parents have to give a tenth of that because it's their fee to do it?
It depends how you give it, we'll see. Hold on, we'll see. But for right now, probably not if you give that money directly to them. If you give it to the parents to use for them, it depends how you gave it. If you gave it for specific things, you just give it to them as an income, then yeah, they have to take Maaser of it. Okay, and here it's even grandchildren less than 6 years old. Because you're only mechuyev to support your own children who are less than six. You're not mechuyev to support your grandchildren. Okay. Okay, you can give Maaser money to a charity or an organization, right, that benefits across the board all different kinds of people. Really, you shouldn't give your Maaser money to people who are Rishoyim. Okay, what a Rosha is, normally a person who's not from, we assume is a Tinik Shenishba Bisman Hazeh, and you can give him money to, especially if it'll be a Chilul Hashem, that, you know, but somebody who's really a Rosha, he knows what he's doing, and he's Bedafka, what's it called, doesn't keep mitzvahs, surely if he's Lahachis, shouldn't give him tzedakah money. And even if he's over L'Teyovim, but he knows better, and he just constantly does Averis, also better to give it to people who are not like that. Okay. In any case, you can give it where different kinds of people will benefit across the board. Okay? For instance, a Karen that gives to frum people and also not frum people, or even Goyim. So, you're allowed to give what's it called Maaser money to such a Karen, because eventually frum people benefit from that too. Or you can give it to the Cancer Society, because frum people also need the benefits of what their research is or whatever. So that's also considered a charity that eventually will benefit people who are Shomri Torah mitzvahs. Okay. If you give an Ani who's Eino Hagun, an Ani who's Eino Hagun doesn't mean somebody who's not 100% frum, because we said you assume that he's a tinik shenishba. Eino hagun means he really doesn't need the money. He's a faker. So if you give that person tzedakah, you're not mekayem the mitzvah. You don't get any schar for it. Morris says almost befeirish like that. And some people hold that if you gave your maaser to somebody like that, who then you discovered was a total faker, he didn't need the money at all, right, that you have to give the maaser again. Because it's like you threw it down the sewer. Pasha's not the case, because you can't ever be sure the person doesn't need it completely. Somebody who's willing to go around and be mevaza himself to collect money, the stama psychologically needs it. Right? I remember the seminary girls years ago asked me, whenever they go to Geula, they're like, you know, the fixtures there of people who ask for money, and usually know who they are because they can smell like an American girl or American boy a mile away, and they won't take, you know, a shekel or 50 agurot or something like that. They want dollars from these people, and they think they're all rich, and every time they go into Geula, the same people ask them again and again, and there's a lot of them, or they go over to Coastal, the same thing. So they ask, you know, we only have a certain budget that our parents give us. How much are we required to give, you know, constantly to these people? And they don't take no for an answer. And if you give them too little, they throw it back at you. So I asked Rav Yoshev years ago, and the answer I got back was, Rav Yoshev said, you're not mechuyev to give tzedakah to people who have more money than you. He said, most of these people are independently wealthy, right, and they do this as a job. They're not because they're really poor and they need the money. That's what he said. He said, he probably knew specifically, you know, that that's the most people. He said, give him a matana mu'etes, and if they taka, my addition is, and if they taka throw it back, then that's the biggest simon, they don't need the money. Because they're really destitute, nobody's going to throw back even 10 agurot, because 10 agurot is 10 agurot if you're really destitute. So Elamai, you're not that destitute, and you're insulted if somebody's giving you 10 agurot. So, if somebody doesn't really need it, then what's it called? I remember what it feels like to have that. I remember I was in Cleveland years ago, before I had the yeshiva, we were collecting for the yeshuv. At that time, the moshav needed to have extra money. And I was in Cleveland, there was a terrible snowstorm. And somebody told me, there's somebody who lives in this place, there was a big schlep to get there, especially during the snow. But he's not the kind of person you can go to for a yeshiva, whatever, but a moshav, he's really super, you know, Zionistic, and this maybe would touch his heart, and he would be interested in giving, you know, a substantial amount to a moshav. This is like something new, different kind of stalker than people usually come for. So I schlepped to this guy's house in the middle of the snow with, you know, taking your boots off and then putting them on, get into the house, and it was dark. And the lights are on upstairs, so I figured it wasn't that late. It was maybe 8 o'clock at night. It wasn't like 10:30, but they probably had gone to sleep already, the parents. And I hear the mother telling the kid, he said, there's somebody at the door. So he said, okay, give him a dollar and tell him to go away. So I hear the kid comes down, and he said, hey, my mother said to give you this. Gave me a dollar, and that was it. I closed the door. I already take my boots off or whatever. I didn't even get a chance to speak to the people, right? It really, I spent more on gas getting there than the dollar, right? And I understood that it felt, but the mice, I brought a dollar back to the moshav. I don't know, those days a dollar was like, you know, hopefully I think I could bring more than that back, but that was that, right? So I know it feels, but if you really need it, then you don't throw it back in somebody's eye. At least you have a dollar. What's it called? But somebody who doesn't really need it, those are the kind of people who throw it back. And I tell it to people, if you gave it to somebody and they threw it back, that's the biggest sin, and they don't need it, don't give them again. I wouldn't give a person like that again. Yeah.
With that coin that you've given and you gave it for the intention of giving it as my food, does that sort of, that particular coin, should you then use it only for charity, or can you put it back
in your
pocket?
I mean, somebody threw it back at you?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they gave you a present back. You can use it for everyone. You gave it to them, they gave it back to you. So you gave it to tzedakah, and they only gave you back. Right? Right? Sometimes, what's it called? They come back with a good. Somebody once told me, if that's all you can give, you probably need it more than I do. Mm-hmm. So they gave it back to you a tzedakah. Okay. Now, here's an interesting Shiloh over here. Person gave tzedakah to a certain group of Talmidei Chachamim. And then it came out that some of them were not really Talmidei Chachamim, and they really weren't fit to get money. Some of them were, some not. So he said you can continue what's it called, giving, but you should decrease and make sure you're only giving to the ones that really deserve it, not the ones that don't. I don't know how you can control that or whatever. Okay. A person who lost his money because own pshia, right? He was derelict, right? And because of that, he lost his money. He squandered it or whatever. He also can give tzedakah. Right now, he's poor. I would imagine that that does not only mean if he lost it because he invested it in bad investments, right, and he should have been more careful how he invested his money. But I assume it could also mean a person who's a gambler or other things, and he lost his money that way. However, there, I think there's a stipulation. And that is, if you help support somebody who loses his money by gambling or by other not good ways, right, then you are feeding his habit. You're making it possible for him to continue gambling. If you help him in such a way that you stop him from gambling, right, that's much better than supporting him, right, and feeding his habit. And it applies to other kinds of habits also. Okay. Okay, here the Rambam says, it's better to give your Maaser to more people, less money, than to give it to one person a lot of money. That's not necessarily a rule that applies all the time. If you have money to give, and you can give an amount that's befitting, right, that'll help a person, so you can give one big amount to one person, or you can give smaller amounts that are helpful to a lot of people, then that's what it's talking about. Better to give the smaller amounts to a lot of people. Why? Because the Rambam learns in Pirkei Avos on the Mishnah, HaKol Lefi Rov HaMaaseh, that when it comes to tzedakah, the more actions of tzedakah you do, is better, quantity is better than quality. Why? Because the whole idea of tzedakah is that you should get you should induce or program yourself, right? Condition yourself to be a giver. So the more you give, the more you condition. If you do one big thing, so it's only a one-time thing, it doesn't condition you more. I'd like to bring a raya to that from the following. Really, the Gemara says that Turnus Rufus Arosh Es Rabbi Akiva, if the Rabban Shem loves Aniyim so much, why doesn't he support them? So Rabbi Akiva said, of course the Rabban Shem can support them. It's absurd to think that the Rabban Shem gives the rich man extra money to give to the poor man. He could cut out the middle man, give it to the poor man directly. Elamai, the purpose is, like Rabbi Akiva said, to save us from Gehenna. The purpose is not for the poor man, it's for the rich man. The Rabban Shem can take care of the poor guy. But he wants you to do it so you'll get the schus. And that's what Rus told Naomi. Ha'ish ashirasisi mohayom shmo Boaz. The guy I did for today, his name was Boaz. What did she do for him? She took money from him. But I did him a favor. Right? I gave him the schus of the mitzvah. So if that's the case, the ikker is how much you become a giver. Not so much how much you gave to the Ani, because the Ani's going to get it anyway, one way or the other. But you have to, the more you go and do something over and over, the more it conditions you to be like that. That's why the halacha is that in Maisris, you give Maiser Ani only the third and sixth year, and Maiser Sheni that you bring up and eat yourself in Yerushalayim is the first 2 years, and the fourth and fifth year. So it always bothered me, it should be just the opposite. 2 out of the 3 years you should give to the Ani. And 1 year, the Rav Shem says, like, you know, you're a good guy, you gave to the Ani 2 years, this year you can eat it yourself, but I give you a bonus. And the Ani should be given the first 2 years, and you should get it the third year, instead of you having it the first 2 years and the Ani having the third year. But the idea is, the Rav Shem wants you to give it besimcha. The main thing is not giving it that the Ani should have. The main thing, even though that's also part of the mitzvah, like we said, if you give it to an Ani, doesn't deserve it, you didn't fulfill anything. You didn't give it to an Ani, so that's not tzedakah. And even if you lost a coin, and an Ani found it, you'll get schar for that too, because you did benefit the Ani. But the ikar mitzvah is your giving, not his receiving. So therefore, the Torah wanted you to give it, that's why if you give it, if you give it and you begrudgingly give it, you don't have the mitzvah. So you have to give it because you want to give it, and then you become a giver. So therefore the Torah said like this, the first 2 years, use that miser, that tenth, to bring to Yerushalayim and eat there yourself. And you'll see, even though you don't have full control over that money, you have to use it for a certain thing, you have to eat it in a certain place, you get the feeling that the Rabban Shem can tell you what to do with your money, and you can enjoy it, right? So after 2 years of doing like that, you're on the Madrega now where you can give it to an Ani and also feel happy. That's the Madrega. But I want to give you 2 years of practice to use your money in a way the Rabban Shem says to do it and be happy about it. And then the third year, what's it called, you'll be happy in giving it to the Ani, then that's the real mitzvah. But if it's time to give it, that's not really what the mitzvah is. It's giving it and being besimcha that you're a giver. The once gave money to somebody that I thought they needed for a yontif. Then I found out that they gave that money to some poor family. So I told him, why don't you have the money for your Simchas Yontif? He says, well, that was my Simchas Yontif. I see these aniyim. I felt like 2 cents after what they're called, but as he said, that was my Simchas Yontif. In any case, so that's the idea. That's why Purim, the Matanos Levyonim, you give one thing to two different aniyim. And Mishloach Manos, you give two things to an usher. The Chorashim, you just say opposite. You give two things to the Ani and only one thing to the Asher. Why two things to the Asher? Well, it's like this. The Rabbanim wants you to know that nobody can guarantee this guy's going to be an Asher tomorrow. So you might as well give him two things just in case. You know, who knows what's going to be tomorrow. The Ani, the Rabbanim should take care of him. He doesn't need you, right? So therefore, the Iker is give him one thing. But make sure you give it two times, two different Aniyim, so you can become in what's it called condition to be able to be a nosing. So that's mamish hadir misakin matanus lavyonim mishloach manos to bring out this idea. To the ani, better to give two, even you're giving less. And to the usher, give him a lot because you never know. You know what's going to be tomorrow. He may need it. What's it called? Because he may not be an usher tomorrow. So just because today's an usher today doesn't mean he's an usher tomorrow.
I was still assuming that this rule would only apply when everything else is equal. But let's say you can give to three different people, smaller amounts, or one person, but that maybe help that person to become independent.
Yeah, okay, I didn't finish off what I started at the beginning, you're right. Like, I started on that side. The other side is, I said it doesn't apply all the time. Where doesn't apply in your case? Where if I would give to a lot of people a small amount, it really wouldn't benefit that much. But one person really needs something. Like, for instance, he needs a certain amount, otherwise they're repossessing his house. And you could give him that amount, or give him a significant amount, and save him from that. So, Vadi, in that kind of case, better to give that one person, right, where his need is very great, than split it up with about five people, and each one's not going to get too much that they're going to benefit from altogether. Then the need of that specific person outweighs this idea of your being a conditioning yourself to be a giver, because otherwise you're benefiting this person tremendously. Okay, but where it's not like that, where the amount you could give is not that great to one person and not that small to a lot of people, then the kamus overrides the echos. But in David's case, he's right. There, Taka would be an exception to the rule. Okay. Yeah.
Why in Yisker, like the whole thing is about giving stuff by this specific person or whatever. So is there why is that the?
Yeah, because
thing?
Just remembering somebody who died, right, doesn't really do them too much. But doing a mitzvah that you can do in their memory, like that they were the incentive and the initiative for you to do that mitzvah. Then that mitzvah accrues to them. How so? Because since you did it because of their memory, right? So it's probably something that they ingrained in you, or they put into you, or whatever, and therefore they're going to get the benefits from that when they were alive, what they initiated, whatever. They once told you that, you know, when they said Yisker for their parents, good idea to give tzedakah, and that's why you're doing it. So you're continuing on something that they set into motion in their lifetime, right? So therefore, the Yisker, you want to just not to remember these people, but you want to benefit their neshamas. So benefiting their neshamas is by giving tzedakah, le'ili nishmasam, which their memory generated that mitzvah, it accrues to them. You can't do mitzvahs after you leave this world. But you can get the dividends on mitzvahs that you did, and that then accrue by when people remember them or whatever, and do a mitzvah because they remember them or whatever.
Does that come from miser money or?
So it depends. If you're in a place where everybody has to give a minimum of $18 to a Yisker appeal, and if you don't, you're like they have you know the lists, and if your name's not on there, you'd be very embarrassed. Everybody has to do it. So then that minimal $18 you can't give from miser. You want to give more, that's your volunteer. If you forgot that you're going to give it from Meisr, you didn't have intention, and you made that nether by the Yisker, and you said, because I'm giving this and this amount, then you can't take it from Meisr because you're already obligated. But if when you went into Yisker, you said, I'm going to obligate myself to money, but I'm going to take it from Meisher, then you can take it from Meisher.
I think it says
Bli Neder. Yeah, okay. But if you made a nether, right, then you have to have known that you're making the nether on the condition you're going to take it from Meisher, or with the intention of taking it from Meisher.
Everyone decides their own amount.
And yeah. And like over here, nobody knows if you're giving anything or not, and nobody, there's no pledges, you know, we don't have an appeal or whatever.
Where it goes to?
Right, you can do whatever you want with it, as long as it's a reliable, you know, a decent stock. I mean, a stock that you can give Meisher to.